What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, May 17th, 2018. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. There's a lot going on here. And so let's get right on into it. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments and questions. Going to start off again about what is our local news, but apparently is being covered pretty much internationally at that point, and that is the volcano down on the Big Island. And about quarter after four this morning, there was a major eruptive event at Kilauea that shot an ash cloud 30,000 feet into the air. That's taller than Mount Everest. Pilots are being warned to stay away from it. The winds, unfortunately, are now from the southeast, so we're probably going to get a lot of fog up here to have to deal with. Volcanologists are saying this is a big event. They're not ready to say this is the big event that they have been forecasting. There may even be worse to come. So we just wait and watch and see what's happening. But it really is certainly the biggest eruption since Claire and I moved here, and it's going to rank among the larger eruptions of the volcano in recorded history. So anyway, the Senate is voting or has voted on the confirmation of Bloody Gina for director of the Central Intelligence Agency, and it's kind of expected that she will sail through that here. Global condemnation is continuing to pour all over Israel for the Bloody Monday massacre, and it's causing a lot of people to basically challenge their prior assumptions about Israel and whether or not what they're doing to the Palestinians is really right and just. One of the articles that talks about this, Sputnik News, is saying the international community is condemning Israeli violence against Palestinians after the IDF killed more than 60 Palestinians and injured more than 2,400 on Monday, just that one day, in response to Palestinian protests demanding their right to return to territories seized by Israel in 1948. And again, the government is saying it's all the fault of Hamas. Corporate media is trying to whitewash. In fact, they're not even reporting on it anymore. But there's an article over here in originalantiwar.com that I think lays out a warning we all have to heed. The West's failure to act in this massacre will result in more massacres. Because Israel is once again being told by the rest of the world they can do whatever they want and nothing will happen to them. Certainly nothing's going to happen at the United Nations as long as Nikki Haley is up there in her little cheerleading outfit and her pom-poms going, veto, veto, veto. But no government should be above the law. And a lot of people are still very disturbed about the juxtaposition of the bloodshed that was taking place along the Gaza border, contrasted with the celebration going around the Jerusalem embassy. And this is the worst day of bloodshed in Gaza in 4 years. Now, down in Turkey, Erdogan is very upset about what's going on. And he's pointing his finger at the United Nations, saying that the United Nations has collapsed in the face of the Gaza violence. Once again, they're not going to do anything about Israel. And Erdogan is saying the United Nations is finished. If they don't act over the Gaza killings, if they don't act to rein in this rogue state of Israel, the United Nations is finished, and that's going to open a very dangerous door. Because the United Nations is supposed to exist to keep all the nations of the world talking to each other, not resorting to war. It hasn't worked in the case of Israel or, for that matter, the United States. But if the United Nations is completely discredited by this, and it looks like that's going to happen, then nations are going to go back to settling their differences the good old-fashioned way with bombs and bullets. the Turkish foreign minister, Mevlüt Cavusoglu, is saying that Israel should be taken to the International Criminal Court over the Gaza massacre. And yes, they should be. Now, Israel is still trying to maintain that they were in a war situation, that all those protesters were terrorists and they were threatening to come across the border, come into Israel and start killing the Jewish people with their flags and placards, apparently. Death by paper cut, I guess. But if Israel wants to take that position, they have still committed a war crime with the use of those expanding bullets, because those are banned in warfare. The kind of ammunition that is used in war is very carefully controlled by international treaty. But this is turning out to be Israel's Amritsar. And the world is turning against them very much. We're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, up in Russia, their foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, is criticizing Israel for its propaganda against the people of Gaza, trying to justify the Bloody Monday massacre. And says it's ridiculous to call these Palestinians terrorists, which is what Israel is saying. They're all terrorists, therefore it's okay for us to shoot them. And Lavrov said, this is a blasphemous statement. You can't claim that dozens of peaceful civilians, including children and infants, are all terrorists. There was that 8-month-old baby who died from tear gas. Was he a terrorist too? Now, Israel's Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman is out there saying that the Hamas leaders are a bunch of cannibals. I guess they've worn out anti-Semite and nobody's buying the they're all terrorists. So now it's down to cannibals. They're Nazis and terrorists and cannibals. And they dress funny. And they have ugly dogs, really ugly dogs. That's what it's looking like to the rest of the world with all this excuse making. Up in Canada, Justin Trudeau is calling for an independent probe of the reported use of excessive force in Gaza shootings, mostly motivated by the fact that a Canadian doctor was among the injured. And he issued a statement, Canada deplores and is gravely concerned about the violence in the Gaza Strip that has led to a tragic loss of life and injured countless people. We are appalled that Dr. Tarek Loubani, a Canadian doctor, is among the wounded, along with so many unarmed people, including civilians, members of the media, first responders, and children. And it sounds really good, but I'm willing to bet a Canadian nickel that he backs off within a week. Because the Israeli lobby is just as powerful in Canada as it is down here. Now, the New York Times actually wrote a relatively balanced story about what's going on. They had a story that came on out about how an uneasy calm falls over Gaza after Israel kills scores in protests. They didn't use the word clashes to make it sound like it was equal on both sides. You know, clash makes it sound like the Palestinians were actually in hand-to-hand combat with the Israeli soldiers, which, of course, didn't really happen. Hamas has called for a general strike. Again, that is a recognized form of peaceful protest. Gandhi used it to tremendous effect to get Britain out of India here. Well, the New York Times may have spoken too soon about an uneasy calm because Israeli Defense Forces have launched yet another airstrike in Gaza. And Israel is claiming they're only bombing Hamas targets, which they always say. And apparently they're claiming this was justified because somebody fired a machine gun somewhere near Sderot. They don't know who fired the machine gun. Could have even been an Israeli. But they're going on in and pounding on them even more. Now, you probably saw these videos of drones that were hovering over the Palestinian protesters, dropping gas bombs and incendiary devices on their tents. And apparently Israel was testing their latest drones in this circumstance. The situation between the Palestinians and the Israelis is somewhat equated to David versus Goliath, but in this case, Goliath doesn't even have to show up to the battlefield. Just sits and pushes a button, and the little robot goes on out and does what they want it to do. But there were apparently three types of drones being used to disperse the gas. And as you probably saw in that one video, one of them was actually brought down with a slingshot. David and Goliath for real here. Meanwhile, Israel's abuses of Palestinians continue in other parts of that country. And apparently there's now a thriving business in Israel dealing in stolen land, stolen from the Palestinians. And apparently locals are buying land from the illegal settlements because they'll declare, you know, a buffer zone. They have land they're not actually building on. And locals will buy that land very cheap. After all, it didn't cost the settlers anything. And then they resell it to Americans and other people who want to live in the Holy Lands, who want to live in the settlements. They believe in the right of return. So, again, it's just outright theft, theft of their land. Now, all of it illegal under international law. Just like Israel's occupation of the Golan Heights. The Golan Heights is still legally part of Syria. Israel's occupying it and sucking out all the oil and gas that they can. Now, the pro-Israel social media users have been circulating a video to claim that Hamas is exaggerating the number of dead, because in the video you see people who are wrapped up and a couple of them are moving. Now, the video was actually of a protest, a mock funeral that was held at a university all the way back in 2013. And Israel keeps recycling this as anti-Palestinian propaganda to say, oh, not that many people were killed. They did it in 2014 when Israel's Operation Protective Edge war on Gaza saw more than 2,200 Palestinians killed, more than 1,462 of whom were civilians, according to the United Nations. So the lies are out there. And it's just escalating the situation. It's escalating the anger because we know it's all lies. And a senior Israeli army spokesman has admitted that this is a public relations nightmare, that they badly mismanaged it, that they really killed too many people, and it's gotten the world's attention. This is Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Kornrikas, international spokesman and head of the social media for the Israeli Defense Forces. And he basically said Hamas has won the PR war by a knockout. I don't think that's what happened. I think Israel basically destroyed its own image along with all those people along the Gaza border. So people are very upset. And the more that Israel does to Gaza, like the bombing, the worse it is. It makes it look like Israel is completely unrepentant about what they've done. And they're just going to go on in and kill more people. This thing is a public relations nightmare. It is so bad. Up at the Cannes Film Festival, many of the stars and celebrities are speaking out. Some of them, when they walked down the red carpet, were carrying signs about ending the killing in Gaza. And these are people who are normally intimidated into never saying anything bad about Israel. And even they are speaking out. Article out of the American Conservative, get ready for the new Middle East battlefield, the Golan, which is exactly where hostilities erupted following Trump's announcement that he was pulling out of the Iran deal. Israel launched an attack onto Syria from the Golan about an hour after the announcement. Syria retaliated into the Golan. Israel attacked again. So, yeah, it's yet another flashpoint. It's yet another place where war is breaking out. Over at the Washington Examiner, normally they're a resource I will use from time to time, but there's this guy called Tom Rogan, and he wrote a piece about that new bridge connecting Russia and Crimea, And he literally came on out and said, Ukraine should just blow the bridge up. And he's basically encouraging war between Ukraine and Russia, or at the very least, he's encouraging terrorist activity against civilian infrastructure. But that's what's coming on out there. They want to bomb the bridge. They're not ready to recognize the will of the Crimean people. The official story is still that Russia stole Crimea. That's not what happened. Following the coup d'etat that took Yanukovych out of power and put in Poroshenko, the people of Crimea held a referendum. And they said, we're not part of Ukraine anymore. And they have that right under the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which has been signed by every member of the UN, including the United States. Then they held a second referendum about joining with the Russian Federation. That one won. They both won by landslide votes. And that's what actually happened. But the U.S. has stamped its feet and taken the position they don't recognize the right of the Crimean people to have a referendum. And that's like a guest at a wedding refusing to recognize the bride's right to choose that particular groom. Therefore, by default, the groom has kidnapped and raped the bride. That's how silly the thinking is. We're going to take a phone call. Steve Elkins, welcome back to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, the United Nations, I agree with you. Something has to be done at the United Nations to condemn Israel's action here, the brutality, what they're doing. They are not living up to their mission statement, their what they were created for. Do you think we're going to see people leaving, countries leaving the UN? Do you think we're going to see that happen?
We might actually start to see that happen. The United Nations really doesn't seem to be serving any purpose that serves the member nations. It's embarked on a path of interfering in their internal affairs more and more, especially on the issue of global warming. And I think a lot of nations are not thrilled about being in the UN. They may be staying because it's a status symbol, basically says you're first world. But I expect that there will be a resolution by the General Assembly against Israel. But the United States can't veto a General Assembly resolution. But then again, the General Assembly has no enforcement power. They can't do anything about it. So,
yeah, it always seems like the United States has a super vote when it comes down to vetoing in the United Nations. Am I correct? Is that the wrong assumption there? It seems like they have the final say on anything, probably because they fund the whole thing.
Fund the whole thing. In fact, right now, the United States is seriously in arrears on the money it's supposed to be paying the United Nations. All of the permanent members of the Security Council have the right to veto. I don't know what the situation is for the rotating members, if they have a veto or not, but the permanent members certainly do. And the United States has just habitually used their veto to protect Israel from the consequences of its actions. Everybody knows it. Everybody sees it. It's getting really old. People are sick and tired of it.
Well, they're clearly not living up to their potential, what they're supposed to be doing. I would see no benefit in actually being in the UN if I were a country to say, you know, we're out of here. Our voice isn't being heard. And I hope there are some countries that finally stand up and say, that's it. We're done with this. This is a very biased, organization. I mean, these are clear atrocities, what's happening in Palestine. And I'd say in the next 5 years, if this continues, maybe be shorter than that, maybe 5 years, if the Israelis continue to push back the Palestinians to take more land, Palestine will no longer exist in 5 years. It'll be gone. There'll be no land left. It'll all be under
Israeli
control.
That's what Israel wants. That's what Israel wants. It's Israel that's wiping Palestine off of the map. And they've been trying to insist there never really was a Palestine, even though it's on historical maps dating back, 1,000 years, if not more. Steve, stay on the line. I'm going to put you on hold for commercials, and we'll get right back to you.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Steve Elkins. We're talking about the absolute paralysis over at the United Nations in the face of Israel's continued crimes and aggressions, not just against the Palestinians, not just against Gaza and the West Bank, but against Syria, Lebanon, all of their neighbors. And I do have a source who's actually inside the UN who says you would not believe how corrupted the entire institution has become.
Yeah, it's pretty disturbing. It is very disturbing. I just wish other neighboring countries would see the big picture here and actually, you know, if they step up and start voicing opposition to this too late, it's going to be too late for them also because they'll be invaded next. They're just, you know, hop, skip, and a jump to take over another country. They should, the writing is on the wall in this. I mean, if you look at the map in 1949, of how much land that Palestine actually had and how little they have now. It's a sliver of what they actually had. And I'm shocked that nothing's really being done about it. But, yeah, on top of that, I sent you an email today, and I think you got it. It was about South Carolina being the first state to have new legislation starting on July 1st of this year about new laws on anti-Semitism, I guess starting with the high schools and the universities. And I said to myself, well, I guess anybody who condemns the actions of Israel, of course, they're going to use that label, you're being anti-Semitic. But, of course, that doesn't fit. They're just, you know, redefining the term itself, which would put you and I in some serious trouble, I guess, if we if other states go through with that also, to say, yes, you can't condemn that because that's now anti-Semitism, independent media is going to be in trouble. We're gonna have to, you know, stand our ground on this issue. But I'm surprised. Well,
this needs to go somebody needs to challenge this law and take it to the Supreme Court, because it is clearly a violation of our First Amendment. And by the way, the use of the phrase anti-Semite is inappropriate here, because those Palestinians are also Semitic people.
Right. That's it. Hey, that's it, Mike. Hey, thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. Over in Syria, the Syrian army has finished liberating the Rastan pocket, and they're advancing in southern Damascus, and apparently the ISIS defense is collapsing. So that war is pretty much over, barring another false flag chemical weapon attack followed by a U.S./Israeli invasion. Because Israel doesn't want to give the Golan back. They just want to keep it, because of all that oil and gas, and also the plan for Eretz Israel, the Greater Israel project here. Now, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons has looked at a chemical attack that took place in the Syrian town of Sarakev back in February and confirmed the presence of chlorine. But in line with its mandate, the OPCW does not assign blame. Although we know that the U.S.-backed rebels have been staging these chemical attacks, especially with chlorine, in order to try and frame Assad to justify military intervention. Vladimir Putin has announced that the Russian cruise missile-armed ships that are patrolling the Mediterranean will remain there off the coast of Syria to prevent a terrorist comeback. Now, what he's really sending is a message to the Western powers. Don't even think about invading, because terrorists don't come by sea. You don't use cruise missiles on terrorists. But that's what's really going on. They're going to keep their naval presence in the Mediterranean as a deterrent to more U.S. adventurism in Syria. Getting on over to Korea, things there are very, very dynamic. And as Ryan Dawson, when he called into the show yesterday, North Korea was actually okay with the South Korea-U.S. military exercises. But he said there's one thing you should not do, and that's practice nuclear strikes on North Korea. And it is very disingenuous that while the U.S. was talking of peace, they did go ahead and fly nuclear-capable planes right up to the edge of North Korea. And that set Kim Jong-un off, obviously, along with Bolton's ridiculous upfront demands. And so, yeah, it looks like the U.S., for all the talk about peace, what they want is North Korea under their total control. And Bolton is out there basically just pouring fuel on the fire. And his comment about a Libya-style solution working with North Korea got the North Korean government very angry. And North Korea said, they know too well that North Korea is neither Libya nor Iraq, which met miserable fates. So they have been paying attention to what's going on. If you give up your weapons of deterrence, you will get invaded by the United States. It is a foolish thing to do. Story coming out of CNBC about how North Korea is unlikely to withdraw from the talks with President Trump. And I'm not sure I really agree with that, because if they wanted to go back to talks, they would talk with South Korea before they talk with Trump. But we'll see what's going to happen. It's coming up real soon. We got to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're already starting to see a propaganda campaign ramp up against North Korea. Over at the Washington Times, they're running an article saying that the reason Kim Jong-un is now balking at meetings with South Korea and may delay the Trump meeting is he's buying time to hide his nuclear weapons. And this makes absolutely no sense. If North Korea has hidden nuclear weapons, they hid them a long time ago, back when the United States started pushing this issue. So I dropped this story into the category of more bovine excrement here. China has unleashed a new military drill called Island Encirclement around Taiwan. In other words, they're practicing on establishing a naval blockade of the entire island. Taiwan, of course, is not very happy about that, and they're accelerating development on their new missile-carrying stealthy catamarans. This is the Tuo Chiang-class missile corvettes, and the first one is basically built for air defense missions. So everybody's ramping up over there. The new defense bill here in the United States is seeking $7.5 billion, that's with a B, for Taiwan. and the U.S. to push back on China. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but in the corporate media, there have been all these stories about how China's a bigger threat than Russia. China's got this and China's got that. And I'm getting a strong sense that these maniacs in charge of this country really think they can take on Russia and China and win without inflicting huge amounts of damage to this country. Because in a global war, especially a nuclear war, nobody wins except possibly the bankers. Very interesting article that came out of UNS.com talking about the ruinously expensive American military and pointing out about how Republican politicians are complaining that entitlements cost too much, by which they mean pensions, medical care, things like that. And they're complaining that the entitlements are leading the country to bankruptcy, even as they fatten spending on the Pentagon, which now takes 12% of the overall budget, and probably it's actually a little bit more, because some of that funding is covert. It's hidden in, like, the Department of Agriculture. But everybody in Washington, D.C. is caught up in the war groupthink. And it alarms me that they actually think they can win a nuclear war. And if they're wrong, obviously you and I and our children will find out about it first. Okay. The chief of staff of the French Navy, Admiral Christophe Prezac, is out there saying that the latest Russian submarines are incredibly fast and silent, making it hard to detect them. And he's also talking about the sudden expansion of the Chinese war fleet. Over the last 4 years, China has added 80 warships to its war fleet. And he went on to say, all of this points to the inability of France and the fleets of other NATO countries to defend the leading position of the alliance in the world. That's their issue. They want to still be in control of the world. Now, Russia's state-of-the-art hypersonic glide vehicle, even the U.S. experts are saying, it's capable of easily cutting through the existing U.S. missile shield. It's capable of evading pretty much everything we have out there to protect our fleets. And they're estimating this weapon will become operational by 2020. I'm expecting it'll be ready a lot sooner than that, but that's just my opinion. But over at CNBC, sources, the usual anonymous sources, said the Russian military successfully tested the weapon twice in 2016. The third known test of the weapon was carried out in October of 2017. That one failed when the device crashed seconds before hitting its target. And the sources are saying the device would be a significant breakthrough, which could enable the Russian military to surpass its U.S. counterparts. Now, the question we should all be asking is not why the Russians have this technology, but why, with all of the vast sums of money spent on the military-industrial complex, the U.S. military does not. They've been working on hypersonic technology going back to the 1980s, and they're not there yet. They're still years away from having anything they can get up there. And it's because the focus of the Pentagon is spending vast sums of money in rebuilding the weapons that won World War II. And Russia and China are thinking outside the box or outside the war, and they're building the weapons with which World War III will be fought. Over at the State Department, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was delivering a pep talk to the State Department staff. And here's where it gets a little weird out there. He's telling them to regain their swagger and believe in the essential rightness of the United States in global affairs. And This is very scary. He's out there selling this idea that no matter what the United States does, the United States is right, I guess because we've got the bigger bombs or more of them. But that's what the propaganda is being fed to those staffers at the State Department. We're always right. No matter how wrong we are always right. Imperial hubris on display here. All right, let's turn to the domestic politics because there's a lot of very interesting developments. Over at the Department of Justice, the Inspector General, Horowitz, is getting ready to release his final report looking into the handling of the investigation of Hillary Clinton's private email server. This is not an investigation of Hillary. It's an investigation of the FBI and the Department of Justice. And this report is expected to be a barn burner. There are already leaks coming on out saying that Horowitz found reasonable grounds that the FBI violated federal criminal law in the Bureau's handling of the Hillary investigation. And apparently, Horowitz has referred the findings to Huber for possible criminal prosecution. All right, we're going to take a phone call now. Francis in North Carolina. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha to you both. And hoping you're staying chilled.
I'm sorry?
Tell you what. As far as that scenario goes with Nikki Haley and her storming out of the UN and so forth, ad nauseum, you know something? They got the wrong name header of the country that she is from. It really
yes.
should have been Israel, not the U.S.
Yes, she's Israel's third ambassador.
I'm sorry?
She's Israel's third ambassador to the United Nations.
Well, that, yeah, go figure. They can battle out who is number one later, but quite frankly, I think it's very evident she has proven and shown herself to be, some people are going to disagree with this, that's fine, basically a paid whore for Israel. Anyway, enough out of me. Later.
All right. Well, I'm not going to argue with you on that, but right now pretty much our entire federal government is a paid whore for Israel, along with the legislature in South Carolina. So Israel takes all that money sent to them by the Congress, and then they bring some of it back to the United States in order to basically donate to members of elected office who will continue to support Israel. It's a giant kickback scheme is what's going on here. All right, we're going to take another phone call. Dustin in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing? Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, Mike, you know, it seems like the Israeli people are going to have to wake up because Netanyahu and his group of thugs and the Zionists are their worst enemy. It's not Iran or Hamas or the Palestinians. It's themselves. It's themselves, Mike, you know. And
yes.
Until the Israeli people wake up, you know, I mean, there was a protest by Israelis against what's going on, but it's not big enough. It needs to be huge, you know. Kind of like in the during the Vietnam days, huge, you know, when they just had enough, you know, and once Netanyahu's out and they kick out the Lieberman vice president or whatever, he's in charge of the defense minister, I believe, right? I mean, once they
yes.
kick these people out, and they got to kick the Zionist all out of there, you know, that's what they got to do, you know, and let them go find a home on an island somewhere, you know, we'll build a wall around them on the island, you know.
You know, the Nazis wanted to give the Jews Madagascar. There are actually medals commemorating cooperation between the Nazi Party and the Zionist leadership. They were actually getting along quite well, contrary to what you're taught in school. And when the Zionist leadership said, we want a country of our own and we want to leave Germany, the Germans said, fine, at the end of the war, when we conquered all of Africa, we'll give you Madagascar. And the Zionists said, no, we want Palestine. We want the Holy Land.
I want to switch gears, Mike, on to Russia. I believe from what I read, the S-500 is getting close to going to production. I think they got a couple of things to finish up with that. And the Eurasian Economic Union, did you see Moldova? Right now they're an observer, but they're getting close to joining that. And remember, Singapore, Egypt, obviously Russia, India, and you know who else is Armenia. The new president's looking at maybe he's going to join the union. Now, Armenia just had those problems with all the protests staged and stuff, but it seems like maybe that didn't work out completely, huh?
Yeah, it looks like it.
So, I mean, you see, between that and the Petro one and stuff, and now Europe, maybe they're going to grow a little spine, you know? And especially France, they shouldn't speak up, because if Total loses that oil, I mean, the gas deal in Iran, the Chinese are just going to grab the other 50%. So they'll have 80% of the gas field in Iran, somewhere close to that. And that would be a loss for France, and that would hurt France economically big time.
Yes,
you know,
it would.
So you see where how now they're caught? Europe is caught. They got caught in their basically in their own trap. They got nowhere to go. You know? I mean, unless they decide to be their own man, you know? I mean, maybe just Germany and France will go. And, you know, Britain will probably stick with the U.S. I can't see them not. You know, but like, but if Germany and France go, Mike, doesn't that mean like the EU, like that's like basically the EU holding it up, just those two countries?
Yeah,
right?
That's basically it. Once Britain breaks free, Germany is probably going to go. Poland and Hungary are very angry at the open borders agenda forced on them by Brussels. They may decide they're not part of the EU anymore, which is going to be kind of interesting because they're completely surrounded by it. But it does look like it's all falling apart. And what really alarms me is the extreme short-sightedness of the U.S. foreign policy, where Trump, first of all, moved the embassy to Jerusalem, and then he pulled out of the Iran deal without considering the repercussions that it was going to have, even for our closest allies. And this has driven a tremendous wedge between the United States and the European Union.
But if you look, Mike, you know, Assad was in Sochi today, right, I believe? But
yes.
Angela Merkel, that's the second time in, like, in a short period of time. So something's going on, because she wouldn't have fly there twice, you know, within this short amount of time to meet Putin. So something, there's movement going on, you know.
Yes.
I don't know what it is, but there's something going on, you know, because she wouldn't have run over there for no reason, so. But we shall see. All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Mateus in Canada. Aloha, Mateus. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. Generally speaking, I believe that there is more global centralized control than you, but I will grant you that definitely in this case where we have Netanyahu bromance with Trump, and then we also have the conflict where there is Zionist influence over the Western media, and then the Western media hating Trump. So you've definitely got a great example there of two very strong opposing interests. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Is the Western media going to still hate Trump when the boss of that media that, you know, loves Trump now?
Well, it's not the entire Western media that hates Donald Trump. It's the United States corporate media, you know, who are very much on board with the liberal agenda. For whatever reason, you know, they've been pushing the propaganda about the Trump-Russia collusion, but that's starting to unwind, and I'm getting a sense that the corporate media wants to sort of back away from the story and distance themselves before it all starts to fall apart.
Yeah, that seems to be what's happening. You know the cliche about the American nuclear submarine, the irony of how they're exporting democracy, but life on a submarine is a complete dictatorship. You heard of that?
Well, it should be that way basically on any Navy ship or Army base or aircraft. You need a chain of command and you need a crew that is going to basically, you know, obey orders quickly because that's the only way you can survive in a combat situation.
Right, I understand that. It's just something that's referred to casually, that there's kind of an apparent contradiction there. I just wanted to point out that the solution to that contradiction is in three words: not exporting democracy.
Well, we haven't been exporting democracy. I mean, when you look at all these interventions going back to the end of World War II, they were all sold on the claim that we're bringing democracy to these people. But not one genuine democracy ever resulted from a successful U.S. intervention. There was always a tyrant like the Shah of Iran or the dictator Pinochet. It was just a lie for public consumption.
Totally. And if I could just switch gears, I wanted to just say something about the Canadian oil prices. By the way, how much are you paying for gas over there? You go by the gallon, right?
We're up to about $3.40 a gallon here. And Mateus, I'm going to have to put you on hold for a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're still talking with Mateus in Canada. And Mateus, you had something you wanted to add.
Right. So you're paying about $3.40 a gallon?
Yes.
Okay. So 4 liters in a gallon, approximately. We're paying $1.60 a liter right now, so that's $5.40. Or five, six, something like that. I just wanted
to get a lot worse.
Yeah, I just wanted to explain something to any Canadians listening, and also just to let you know of like what scam is going on here, and hopefully it doesn't happen to you. So what happened is back when oil was $100 about 4 years ago, we were paying about $1 a liter. Then it went down to $20 a gallon about a year later. Guess what? We're still paying $1 a liter. Okay? What happened was that the refineries just said, oh, you know what? Let's just double or triple our profits from now on. Totally scam. So we just paid the same high rate while you guys were, and everyone else was enjoying the small benefit of all this political global corruption that we just happened to get an accidental benefit to the people of low gas prices. We didn't get that because the refineries were just upping their take. And then I predicted this. What would happen is that then when the prices started going back up again, the refineries are not going to say, okay, let's just go back to where we were. They're saying this is the new normal, and now we're paying $1.60 a liter. It's such a fraud and a complete scam. And the reason they get away with it is because we're kind of pacified. We still have some weapons, but we're psychologically disarmed quite a bit. We get away with it because we don't do anything about it. Like, it's so frustrating that we just sit on our ass and, like, what? When are we going to get off our ass and do something about it? When it's $1.80? When it's $2 a liter? Like, we're talking right now, we're approaching $6 a gallon here, and no one's even complaining about it. So anyway, that's my rant. That's why we have high prices in Canada, because we're all a bunch of wimps that aren't willing to resist. We're just a bunch of cattle going along with it. And it's the refinery.
Anybody who sells a commodity, the old model used to be your cost to provide plus a reasonable profit markup. And now today, of course, it's basically charging what the market will pay. And unfortunately, because people are dependent on gasoline for their cars, refineries and oil companies can get away from that. That's why they have so much money. They're also a very powerful lobbying group within the United States. it is an issue. Of course, Claire and I are lucky because we both home office. So we don't actually do a lot of driving, basically to shop and Claire's church. Saturday we have yet another memorial to go to. But other than that, we basically stay at home. So the gas price is not as big an impact on us as it is on people who like have to drive into Honolulu every day for their job.
Yeah, it's tempting to get an electric vehicle, but the electrical prices are pretty high all over the world. And a Canadian government got elected partially on promising to freeze electrical increase rates, which they totally...
Okay.
Talk to you later. Thank you.
Mateus, I'm sorry. I got to let you go for station identification. We will be right back.
That neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.